Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. Top thing that sucks is Jericho is back on Rampage, so I can't even enjoy Rampage anymore because Chris Jericho is screaming at me about stupid stuff, yelling at me about how Orange Cassidy is the greatest international champion they've had. Oh, really? Is that your contention? Great mind of professional wrestling, Chris Jericho? Is that your contention? That Orange Cassidy is the greatest international champion you've had? Not Pac? Not the first one who held it for like, what, a couple of months? Not Moxley who held it for like 2 weeks? Or Rey Fénix who held it for like 10 days? Is it really Orange Cassidy? Way to go out on a limb there, Chris. Tell us that he's the best international champion you've had. Hates Jericho and everything he stands for. Jericho is on commentary for this. What is... Because it used to be the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny, but if Kip Sabian's going to keep hanging around with them, we need to give him a nickname that's B-related, right? So if the Butcher and the Blade, that's if they're in the ring together. What is it if it's the Butcher and Kip's, the Butcher and the Blondie? I don't know. What is his nickname? I don't know what it is. But they're facing best friends, so that's a thing. SmackDown is one of the worst episodes of wrestling television I've ever seen in my life, according to the things that I like to see. Now I know they call it sports entertainment. I think they still call it that, but it does fit into the branch of professional wrestling. You know, that genre. And when you have something called professional wrestling, I think that more than one quarter of your broadcast time should be taken up with professional wrestling. That's just my own thing. You're free to disagree. That's fine. For my taste, when I tune into a professional wrestling program, I want to see wrestling. I that's what I would like to see. But if you're telling me that you can't find more than 28 minutes to showcase wrestling on your wrestling show that lasts 2 hours, well, then I'm probably not going to like what you have on offer. And again, there will be people who will think this is great because The Rock talked for a long time. There will be people who think that is preferential. It is not to me. But, you know, it's my own thing. Worst, like the last half hour being mostly entrances and then the rest talking is pretty bad. But it's not as bad as starting the show off with Logan Paul, who comes in and has a big reveal. The big reveal is that there is a bottle of Prime, like emblazoned on the ring. And he is revealed that the first ever center ring sponsor in the WWE's history will be Logan Paul's crack for small children, Prime Energy Drink. And that there's going to, on WrestleMania and all PLEs going forward, in the middle of the ring, you will see a bottle of Prime, right? There are 200 milligrams of caffeine in a bottle of Prime. 200 in a 12-ounce bottle of the Prime Energy. I don't know, well, the Prime Hydration, I guess, is what they're trying to say. This is what Prime Hydration is better for you than Prime Energy. I don't know. It's swill marketed to children that is highly addictive. Period. to say nothing of the fact that that much caffeine to a growing body is fucking poison. So you are marketing child poison at WrestleMania. WrestleMania now sponsored by child poison. That's what you've decided to do. Like, if you want to put it on the market, that's fine. There's a lot of fucking poisonous shit that is allowed for us to purchase at the local 7-Eleven, okay? But not all of it is marketed exclusively to children with flavors that children will like to eat. Some kid with an undiagnosed heart condition is going to slug down five of those things in an hour, like on a dare or something. He'll have no idea that he's got an underlying heart condition because, you know, he's nine and all of his little friends told him to do it. So he does it and his little fucking heart's going to explode. And his parents will sue Logan Paul, but he'll get off like he always fucking does. Fuck Logan Paul. Fuck his child poison. And fuck WWE for going into business with that fucking criminal. Period. End of story. I don't want to hear any more about it. Fuck it. Anyway, he brings up KSI. Again, I don't know who this is. I don't fucking care who this is. This is one of my greatest old man yells at cloud moments. I don't fucking know who KSI is. I don't fucking care who KSI is. I will never care who KSI is. Not once, not ever in my fucking life. I will make it my job to not know who this fucking guy is. I don't care how many goddamn YouTuber subscribers he has. Fuck this guy. Get him off my fucking TV. I'm watching professional wrestling. Anyway, he ends up getting an RKO from Randy Orton. Ah, damn it. Kip Sabian got hurt. That sucks. That sucks. I hate when there's injuries in wrestling. It's the worst. See, there he goes. Evil Diva. Evil Diva, man. This is a horrible thing that you're talking. My friend's daughter died from Monster. That is awful. She had a heart issue but was never put on any restrictions. I will never let my children near Logan Paul garbage. And Monster has less caffeine per ounce than Prime does. I take my daughter to the park near our house, and one time I was there and there were four cans of Prime or bottles of Prime on one of the picnic tables under the little shelter, and I was like, these teenagers. And you know who ran over to take big swigs of those things? Kids that were my daughter's age, 6 and 7 years old, came over to take big swigs out of these cans of Prime Energy. And these parents wonder why their kids are so crazy and won't calm down. Ah, it's that ADHD. No, you're fucking letting them swill down 200 milligrams of caffeine. It's dangerous shit. My heart breaks for your friend's child. What a horrible thing, man. Shock of H has asked, Alex, is it safe to say you wouldn't watch SmackDown if you weren't paid to? I would skip through everything that wasn't wrestling. I would do that. I would skip through everything that wasn't wrestling. I would want to see what they were doing with the wrestling. Tonight, I would honestly, because if I wasn't being paid, I would still pay Sean the $5 a month to get all the scoops and everything. And somebody in this other multiverse where I'm not doing it, somebody will be doing a podcast on Fightful Select, and I'll probably listen to that. But
what I would do is I would look at the rundown of what's going to be on the show, right? And if I saw, like tonight, four matches in 2 hours, I wouldn't watch the show. It would be DVR'd. I could just zoom through it again, see whatever I wanted to see. I'd see what people were saying about the matches on social media. If anything like looked like it was really good, maybe I'd go back and watch that match in its entirety. But I certainly would not watch the whole show. Yeah, Seth's team said yes. That's all we need to know, Cyclo. Took us 2 hours to get there. And the segment in which he said yes took 25 minutes for him to say yes. So, yeah. Anyway, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton wrestled Grayson Waller and Austin Theory in a bog standard tag match. No imagination, nothing interesting. The only interesting thing was at the end, Kevin Owens hit Grayson Waller with a stunner, and then they hit a pop-up RKO, like the pop-up powerbomb setup from Kevin Owens. And Randy finished it off with an RKO and pinned Austin Theory. And then Logan Paul jumped in the ring and attacked both Randy and Kevin Owens. And then he laid them out with a really terrible clothesline from behind, and then he put on some brass knuckles. And then Randy stole the brass knuckles from Logan Paul and was going to hit Logan Paul, but Logan Paul ducked out of the way. And then he almost hit Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens was like, "Hey, man, don't almost hit me with those brass knuckles." And then Randy Orton took off the brass knuckles and they fist bumped. So they're okay for now. But can they coexist? Honestly, RKO KO is a fantastic... I want them to be tag champs just so we can call them RKO KO. RKO KO is the greatest name in the history of wrestling for a tag team. RKO KO. Do it. RKO KO, man. Oh no, Ruby's upset, guys. Ruby's upset. Let's see what Ruby's upset about. No. They're saying Ange tore ligaments in his knee. What are they going to do this mixed tag match? Double or nothing? Full gear? Wow. The Outcasts have fully cast each other out. Because Ruby hates Soraya. That's not good. I don't know that it's a real injury in the H. It was very kayfabed when they did it. I don't know if it's like covering for a real injury, but that sucks. That really sucks. Yes, you're right. Adam, we are going to get that mixed tag match they teased last week. We're going to get that when they finally do Swerve versus Keith Lee. So it'll be the 12th of never. Hold on. I'm behind. So you don't get Linda yet until the actual thing starts. So hold on. Let's see if I can become Linda here. Oh, Jelaya. I love Jelaya. You know, I used to have a neighbor whose name was June, and I've never actually met anybody whose name was Jelaya, and now we have one, Jelaya Hart. She doesn't look very all that heartful. You know what I mean? She's like, oh my goodness, look at my heart. Hello, Kylie. It looks like Lo's going to make me in the 2K24 game. That should be fun. Oh, no. Jake Salazar says, I was at the show. Kip did get hurt because Tony came out to check on him when he was walking up the ramp. That's terrible for Kip Sabian. Terrible. You know what's fun? Oh, good. Hold on. Allow me to mute my feed because Chris Jericho was talking. Chris Jericho, not talking, screaming, shrieking at me with that shrill voice of his. It's terrible. So listen, this is the Rabine Renegade. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Renegade. That's it. Rabine Renegade. So Rabine Renegade here versus the Jeliah Heart. It is for the TBS title. I mean, I feel like Rabine, it's one of them open challenges because I did not see her on the latest rankings. I did not see her versus the latest on the very... So here we go. The Rabine throws her into the corner here. Jeliah, are you going to take that from her? She is being so mean to you. Look, I'm probably several minutes behind here, am I not? I am. I'm several minutes behind here. Hold on. Now I've caught up a little bit. I skipped some stuff. So now are we into the? Here we go. I'm at the 25 minute mark. Here we go. I'm at about the 25-minute mark here. I've caught up. I was behind for some reason, but now I'm correct. I'm at the right time. So this is good. We're here. So this is good. So we got Jeliah Heart putting Rabine in a headlock. Little chin lock there. Little chin lock, little Baron Corbin chin lock action here. Throws Jeliah into the corner. Runs in. Oh, big shotgun dropkick from the Rabine Renegade. Rabine Renegade has a hell of a shotgun dropkick. Oh, but she went for the Meteora to the chest. And it turns out, oh, big clothesline response from the Jeliah Heart. And a big, oh, like a hip attack there. And a snapmare. Roll her up. Oh, kick to the midsection. That's got to hurt the ribs. And here comes, oh, with a big running forearm to the back of the head. Jeliah Heart going in for the Heartless. The Heartless just, oh, that looks, you know what that used to be called? You know what they used to call that back in the day? They used to call that the Batista bite. Batista would take bites out of people, I guess. I don't know, I wasn't watching back then, but he was such a, you know what I've heard about that Batista? You know what I've heard about that Batista? You know, south of the border, that Batista. You know what I'm talking about? It turns out he likes Mexican food. Quite a lot, actually. He's a big fan of the Mexican food. South of the border, on Dave Batista. That's what I've heard. Anyway, I'm done now. I'm going to move on. Julie Hart has been amazing, honestly. Oh no, Saray is very upset. Saraya's brother is absolutely, we've got Karrion Kross at home. Great, he just looks like great value Karrion Kross. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. There's, well, water got all over Great Value Karrion Kross. No, Great Value Karrion Kross, don't do it. Great Value Karrion Kross, don't do it. Don't kill him. Don't kill him, Great Value Karrion Kross. Oh, no, he hit him in the throat. I feel like Great Value Karrion Kross could take it down about 16 notches and still be too many notches up. That's what I'm saying about that. All right. We got Penta versus Action Andretti. That should be good. Speaking of things that are not good, though, we got Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross. This was fine, but Karrion Kross is not as strong as he thinks he is. Karrion Kross is much better suited to beating up smaller guys because he can't do – he can – it takes a lot of effort to herk a big guy like Bobby Lashley up onto Karrion Kross's shoulders. He's not as strong as he thinks he is. So guys who are like 230 pounds or less, those are the dudes he should be feuding with, Karrion Kross, almost exclusively if he's going to be positioned as a powerhouse. This match, predictably, does not have a finish because let's see, is Action Andretti going to do hydration? You don't have to drink the water, kid. Are you going to drink the water? Don't drink the water. You got to drink the water? Good, he's not going to drink the water. I'm glad. Bobby Lashley is attacked by AOP. Street Profits come out to try and run interference from the attack. They are immediately overwhelmed. Immediately. AOP has proven time and time again that the Street Profits are fucking ineffectual losers who can't possibly have a two-on-two battle with AOP. Now, AOP are big dudes. And if you want to say that they're big enough that they can beat the Street Profits, fine. The Street Profits run in, and like 15 seconds later, they're laid out unconscious on the floor on the outside. And I feel like that makes Street Profits look like ineffectual losers. Karrion Kross puts in way too much effort to do a really poor version of his final prayer thing because, again, Bobby Lashley is too big for him. But yeah, no, we are not this feud at the rate it is currently progressing with how long they've been doing it. I don't think this feud will be over until SummerSlam of 2025. Like, this is what we're doing with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. This is how we're bringing in AOP. By doing a bunch of nothing that, like, I'm sorry when you say, oh, here we're going to go, Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross. And you've done this before? And that time it also ended in a schmoz? I feel like at some point, just pick the team that's going to win and have them win the feud. Do two out of three do a series of matches. It's usually what happens. You just have the baby face, or they have the baby face win the first one, and then Karrion Kross decides to get some heat back, and so they do a rematch, and this time Karrion Kross wins, and now you got to do a rubber match. You see how that works? And then you pick the guy who's going to win. You could also do that with AOP and the Street Profits. Or you could do the same thing with trios matches. What you shouldn't do is just have a bunch of matches that don't really have endings because you don't have the stones to pick the team that you like, to pick the guy that you like, that you want to actually showcase. So, yeah, I don't love when they do that personally. I don't know in the H. I don't know if we're getting 3-on-3 with those teams. We should have gotten that a long time ago. I mean, I think the plan might be to finally have that 3-on-3 trios match at WrestleMania, but like, there's nothing else they could, unless they're doing another 1-on-1 match between Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross. Bobby Lashley deserves a big spot on Mania. Because of what happened with Bray Wyatt last year and the fact that they didn't allow him to do anything else once it became obvious Bray Wyatt was not going to be available, they just took him out of it. I feel like Bobby Lashley Prophets versus Final Testament or whatever the fuck they're called, the King James Bible, that's your trios match for WrestleMania. (Clears throat) Yeah. We got backstage. We got a little video, an interview of Bayley talking about how she's entirely alone now, and she knows she made a lot of enemies, but she wouldn't do it any other way because what she did for Dakota and Io. And she's trying to make amends a little bit, but she recognizes that she was fully in her right mind with what she did, and therefore can't really apologize for it. But then you see Naomi watching that little interview backstage in another room, and she's a little empathetic about it, but Bianca Belair is 100% not. So she is, I don't think she's a heel turn, but she is doing heelish actions, words, but she's right. Like, she says, I don't have any sympathy for Bayley, because what's happening to Bayley is the exact same thing that she and Damage Control did to me for the entirety of the past year. So no, I don't have any sympathy for Bayley. And Naomi's like, no, I remember being my group of girls, and then when it fell apart, it was hard. Going from having all those people, those friends around, to having nobody, that was hard. And Bianca's like, well, I've always been a loner. Bye! So are we getting Bianca versus Naomi? I don't know. Is this the beginning of a Bianca heel turn? I don't know. At least it was interesting to see Bianca and Naomi interact, because I feel like that's something interesting. So, by the way, in the chat, they are booking the first ever AEW WWE Forbidden Door pay-per-view. It's going to happen on February 30th. So just wait until February 30th, 2025, or 2026. One of those years is going to have a 30th of February, I'm pretty sure. And then we're finally going to get the Sting versus The Undertaker. So that'll be good. Meechan versus Tiffany Stratton is 1 minute and 56 seconds long. It's less than 2 minutes. One match for the women on this show, 2 minutes. You could watch that match. Meechan versus Tiffany Stratton. Again, Tiffany Stratton now actively being pushed as the hot new thing in the women's division. And Meechan, who commentary is talking about, has an actual story behind it, but she's not really the same since AJ Styles broke up the OC. She's kind of unmoored and has lost focus. So you've got an undercard woman with a story they're trying to push for her, but via commentary, and a hot new thing in the women's division. You're going to give them 2 minutes. You could watch that movie. You could watch that match five times during the span of, you could watch Rock's fucking promo he cut for Instagram on while he was wearing a cowboy hat at an empty rodeo venue. Now, thankfully, they did not broadcast that on television tonight, thankfully. But you could tell they wanted to. Dragon Lee is back, and he got walked up on by Santos and everybody and knocked over, and then he had a match versus Angel. And man, they really should have fucking just had Santos beat Carlito last week, because Santos is strutting around like he fucking owns the place, but we watched his ass lose to the hollowed out shell of what Carlito used to be. Like, that guy's not it anymore. He can't do this anymore. It's cool. Not everybody can do it forever, but he can't. And they had that guy beat Santos Escobar last week. I know it was because of distraction, but also distractions don't immediately make just nullify the end of the match. They can't. What it does is it affects the end of the match, but you still had Santos lose. Just have Santos beat Carlito, then have Rey to come back to interrupt the beatdown of Carlito. And that way, this week, Santos will have fucking a leg to goddamn stand on. Which he doesn't. You see. Predictably, Action Andretti and Penta are having a very good match in the ring right now. So, yeah. It's good to have Dragon Lee back. He beats Angel Garza. Because, yes, of course he does. Man, he just kicked a tornadoing Action Andretti out of the sky and then dropped in the Made of Japan. That was crazy. That was a great finish, by the way. Penta and Action Andretti, worth your time seeking out on Rampage. Immediately after Dragon Lee wins with a Hurricane Rana reversal, looked like the old West Coast pop, except he didn't do a springboard into it. Anyway, immediately afterwards, Santos, Angel, Humberto, beat the shit out of Dragon Lee, do a triple team move on him, and leave him for dead because all of the rest of the LWO isn't in the building tonight, which is weird. So they're not there. So, but he's like, Rey Mysterio, this is your fault. What happened is your fault here. So that's it. And, I feel so bad for Titan because he has to, face Chris Jericho tomorrow. I guess he already faced him yesterday. The spoiler results are online, but man, Chris Jericho just can't keep his grubby little paws off of anything good. So, yeah. That's a really good. I didn't think about that. Nothing like a 2-minute match on International Women's Day. Very WWE. It is very WWE. It is. It is. Yeah, terrible. So the four matches we got were a bog standard tag match, a match that they've been building to now for weeks and weeks, and I think months and months, that had no payoff because it was a schmoz finish, a 2-minute women's match, and a match where the babyface won and then immediately got beaten down by the heels. So that's what they're doing. But WrestleMania season, alive and well. And then we got Roman Reigns getting... Oh, wait, hold on. We got a little segment with AJ Styles basically saying, I'm a badass now. You don't want to mess with me. Just because. And then LA Knight watching that moment backstage on a TV and then takes the chair and beats up the TV. And says, maybe next week you'll actually show up to work and I can do this to you. So LA Knight versus AJ Styles is a Mania match, I guess. I guess that's what we're doing. How many matches on each night? Eight? We're thinking eight matches on each night? Seven? I don't know. I'm going to have to go through all the matches I think that they're like building to or testing out, and we'll see if any people get after that the best matches. Roman Reigns had a full entrance, the whole damn thing, all of it. 6 minutes long, or however long it is. And then immediately they did The Rock full entrance, really long ass entrance for The Rock. And then Roman said, acknowledge us. And then they did Seth and Cody entering through the crowd like they were in the fucking Shield again. Well, like Seth was in the Shield again, and like Cody was in the Shield for the first time. And they cut to commercial, and they came back, and they're still friggin' entering! And then they just talk at each other for 5 minutes. And eventually, I mean, Seth accepts the challenge. Rock actually has the nerve to be like, just so we're clear, just to refresh everyone's memories, the stipulation is as follows. I'm like, Dwayne, Jesus Christ, we get it. We know. We know what it is. They played a video at the top of the show to tell us what the stipulation is. We know what the stipulation is. You don't need to say it again. And then Seth accepts. And Roman's like, you're going to let him accept on your behalf? This cross-dressing fool or some shit? And then The Rock says to Cody, your siblings are both 20 years older than you. You are a mistake. And here's what I thought he was going to do, because it feels very The Rock. He says, Roman's grandfather, he's looking down and he's proud. The Rock's grandfather, the High Chief Peter Maivia, he's looking down. Your father, Dusty Rhodes, he actually says this. He's looking down. And I was like, come on, Rock. It's really easy. Roman's grandfather looking down. The Rock's grandfather looking down. Your father, Dusty Rhodes, he's looking up. Come on, it was easy. It's right there. The crowd would have popped for it. You know how I know the crowd would have popped for it? Because they'll pop for anything. They were doing a goddamn diarrhea chant. He has a
different mom. I believe he does. A different mom.
So, yeah. Transphobic joke's also very terrible. Yes, all of it. All of it's very terrible. It's just terrible. All of it's terrible. It's terrible. So, he calls Cody a mistake. And then Cody waits for the last possible second before they have to cut away to go to your live local news. And he slaps The Rock in the mouth, giving The Rock a receipt. Now, I do like Commander coming in here with his own little poncho, like a bounty hunter. Although you got to give him more of an old West feel to the Lucha mask. Maybe that'll be it for him. I still say that Bounty Hunter and Bandito, when Bandito is healthy, them as a tag team would be amazing as the Bounty Hunters. That'd be really cool. I'd love that. The Rock is adding transphobia to his homophobia and misogyny, and I'm supposed to be cool with people who are happy about him being here, LMAO. No, it's awful. It was always awful. Like, you know, he's always been that guy. But he got a pass because everybody was that guy in 1998 through 2002. But he can't have a pass anymore. The world has changed. He can't just be that guy anymore. It's fucking dumb. You know? Like, this is all really dumb. Cam, yes, I went in there today. Cam says, hey, Alex, we got an update on the Xbox for 2K24. Hopefully that means we can download characters now. We can. I went on there earlier today, and yes, on Xbox, you can access Community Creations. You can download characters. There are not a lot of characters. I went in there immediately, looked for an Obafemi. There's no Obafemi that looks right. Either the gear looks wrong or the face is all off. But eventually somebody will make me a perfect Obafemi and I will download him. I will make him a 99 overall, and he will crush everyone in his path. That'll be great. So that was SmackDown, and here what we have is a trios, a three corners tag match. One of those fucking stupid things where if you tag somebody else in or whatever, can't just come on, AEW, be the good company. One guy from each team is legal. Just do it that way. That's the very best, the only way to do these kinds of matches. Don't do it the bad way. Do it the good way. Dante Martin here versus Brian Keith. There's some good stuff on Collision tomorrow, and I like where some of the angles are headed. Dynasty's shape, like Dynasty's got about three matches on it right now, and they're all excellent, or at least not official for them, but they will be official, and it'll be Dynasty's looking like a pretty amazing pay-per-view to do. At the end of April, that's good because WWE takes the whole rest of the month of April off. Backlash is in France, I think, at the end of the first week. Contre coup en français, it'll be at the end of the first week of May. So so it's easy for them to... They have not, I don't believe... I don't believe that they've announced a pay-per-view in June, a play in June for WWE, but yeah. Yeah, they're doing the Saudi show at the end of May, but it's like a different weekend than Double or Nothing, I believe. Yeah, Okada and the Bucks are wrestling a squash match on Collision tomorrow, so that'll be interesting. So this is it. I got nothing else to say. Anybody got any questions for me? Let's do a little Q&A here for the rest of Rampage while I watch Rampage. What do we got? A little Q and a little A. Here we go. Kylie says, "You're cool people, Alex." Why, thank you, Kylie. AEW having women's wrestling while WWE apparently didn't have any, ? And on International Women's Day, SMH. Anyway, stay beautiful, you lovely human. I will try, and thank you, Kylie. Yeah, AEW, I mean, the match between Julia Hart and Robin Renegade wasn't very long, but it was longer than the one between Tiffany Stratton and Mee Chin. And they're doing some interesting stuff here with the women's division in AEW as a precursor to Mercedes coming in. I think the top of the women's division in WWE is good. I think Becky and Rhea will heat itself up pretty quick heading into Mania. I think that Bayley and Io have a great story. I just wish they'd be putting more oomph behind it. So, yeah. And they have the horses there. They have a lot of really great women in WWE. They just need to actually start booking them into real matches and real storylines. There's zero reason why you couldn't book a all women's pay-per-view for the third weekend in May, because you know the women get to go to Saudi Arabia now, but not all the women. So book for that. Create a really cool storylines for these women going into the end of May, and do a one of those evolution pay-per-views again. Do one of those again. I challenge you to do one of those again, WWE. Kylie asks, may I have Linder's thoughts on the debut of Kazuchika Okada? Also, what would she call him? It's a good question. I don't know. So, you know me. I'm a sucker for a Japanese man. I mean, we've got the cheekbones and the I mean, because you know my history with Minoru Suzuki. So Kazuchika is Kazuchika Chika Bang Bang. He is a tall drink of water. That is what that Kazuchika is. The Kazuchika Okada. Now he's I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with all that man, but he looks great in a suit. I'll tell you that much. Him there with the Matthew and the Nicholas Buck, those two Buck brothers. I think they are quite talented, and they've obviously got the greatest interests of the company at heart because they brought in Kazuchika Okada, and I think they're going to make a fantastic trio working together for the betterment of the AEW. That's what I've got to say. Now, they could say they're heels, but not to me. I love them, especially that Kazuchika. Woo! Look at him. That's all I got to say about that. All right. Thank you, Kylie, for your sour chat. I appreciate it. No, it's true, Tom. The fact that AEW finally hired a woman to be a top creative is so critical. Not even just, yes, she's got the experience to be at the top of creative, but just having more voices who are women and creative is important. Just like having a staff that actually is representative of the fan base is very critical.
You accidentally crotched your own teammate on the top rope. That's so unfortunate for you, Isaiah Cassidy. Giant leaping headbutt from Bounty Hunter Brian Keith. Ushigaroshi. That's what Mauro Ranallo told me. That's what it was. Hold on. This was something here from last week. Meet Norma Sennin last week because of the poop jokes. Crap Salute, Sticky Sharts, Bobby Squish, and Pooh Mackenfart. Remember that when we were doing poop puns? We got Bobby Squish, which is really, really graphic, actually. It's a bit much for me, even for me. And Crap Salute, Sticky Sharts. So. Whew. That is tough. All right. So it's business is picking up here in this three corners tag match. We got Commander walking the ropes, hitting the chop on Isaiah Cassidy. Oh, is he gonna run up the? He's gonna do the thing now. He's gonna run up the ropes. No. No, he kicks Mark Quinn, jumps down. Oh, no. Oh, big assisted stun gun over the top rope. Oh, but Dante Martin breaks it up. Oh, interesting. They were announced simply as Zay and Quinn. I like that. Zay and Quinn. I like that. I like that a lot. Zay and Quinn is a cool, that's a cool little, names for two guys in a tag team. I like that. Now they need to hire Veda Scott. Now that they've finally gotten rid of Kevin Kelly, who played himself out of a job, regardless of all the shit he was doing on Twitter, he played himself out of a job. He benched himself, and then
made himself expendable with how bad he was as a commentator. But we get rid of him, bring in Veda Scott for sure. That's what you gotta do. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Are you asking me if I have a favorite style of music? Familiar with a wide variety? I am not, honestly. I stopped listening to new music about 20 years ago. If I ever come across new music, it's by accident. It's mostly like 80s and 90s, 70s classic rock. Oh, look at the Martin boys picking up the win. I do love that crazy pump handle thing where he flips the guy all the way through into a facebuster. That is a cool move by Darius Martin. Yeah, I miss Morrow, man. I miss Morrow. Morrow coming in to only do the papes, if it was just that, just Morrow as a guy who comes in to do some of the papes would be awesome. Oh, look at Dante Martin putting on the do-rag, being angry at Private Party. All right. Well, this is a fun little episode of Rampage. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Tomorrow, Kate and I will be here talking about Jericho ruining everything on Collision. Malachi Black trying to murder Mark Briscoe and hopefully Jeff Jarrett. And then whatever the hell they're doing with Kazuchika Okada. Until then, on a night where SmackDown had 28 minutes of wrestling on a 2-hour show, everything sucks.